Please turn in your Bible to Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1. How many of you have ever gone into a situation with people where you were uncomfortable because of the situation, or you didn't know what to say? It was just an awkward thing you had to attend or something you went to.
Yeah.
Most of us have been in that situation, right? I think sometimes that's kind of what our situation is in relation to the Holy Spirit. You know, it's just kind of awkward. We don't know what to say when we pray. We don't know how to interact with Him. It's just this awkward thing. And so we don't do it even though we know we can. And it's kind of over there and we're over here. And we know it's for us, but we never appropriate it into our lives. And so we're going to take that this morning and hopefully just blow that out of the water and open the doors for us to cross over into this. And so we're very excited about, as we continue, or as we're starting to wrap up our study on the Holy Spirit, we have either two or three more weeks, counting this week, left in the study, one of which will be on tongues. Everybody's been asking me, when are we doing that one? And so that'll be fun, and we'll go into God's Word, see what His Word honestly says about it. And so this morning, we're going to discover how to interact with the Holy Spirit by prayer and fellowship, faith, obedience, care for our body, and worship. And those are the areas in which we relate to Him. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, thank You for what You're doing. Father, I pray as we walk into these verses this morning, as we walk through Your Word, I pray and ask You to speak to our hearts. I ask You to show us how to respond and how to interact with the Holy Spirit. I pray that He'll not be this far-off thing that we know is for us, but that will start to break down the walls and the distance that has allowed it. Father, I pray that we'll fall deeper in love with You and out of love with this world. Thank You for all You're doing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to begin this morning with prayer and fellowship. Communication is important in any relationship, especially in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. How can you say that you have a relationship with somebody if you don't ever talk to them? You know, the people I don't talk to, I don't have a relationship with. Right? If I don't see them, if I don't spend any time with them, if they're not a part of somewhere in my week, even though I may feel warm toward them, I'm not experiencing an interaction with them. And so we begin with Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And when we pray, a lot of times what we think of is these are the needs that I have, or I need You to fix this problem, or so-and-so is giving me trouble at school, or would You give me a raise? Or I'm sick, I need You to fix my body. And thank You, Jesus' name, amen. And we're off. Right? Does that sound familiar to anybody? And so we go through this prayer time of life with a to-do list for God to fix, or God to intervene in. But what He says here, He says praying in the Holy Spirit, which is different than what we just talked about. Because it's so easy to sit there and pray of the things that we think that we see that we need with no idea what we really need, which is what the Holy Spirit knows. And so when He's talking about praying in the Holy Spirit here in Jude, He's talking about understanding what the Spirit is doing in your life, understanding how He's using you in the lives around you, and praying for those things to come about. And so if I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm being led by the Spirit, not by myself. And you go, wow, that's so foreign, that's crazy, that's never happened to me before. I'm glad you're here, you're my target this morning. Because the Lord has that for all of us. He has that for you and He has that for me. He wants me to know what he's up to in my life. He wants me to know how he's using me in the lives of other people around me. And if God has been this foreign concept to you, or this distance far away, or this, church is kind of just the thing we do, then you're really missing out on the fullness of your salvation. And I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to miss out on that. And so he begins that here in Jude. And so when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we've not only come to understand what's going on in our lives and in the lives around us, we're coming into agreement. And coming into agreement saying, yes, I received that, that's the hardest thing. You know, we talk about it all the time around here. When somebody insults us, or if anybody insults us anywhere in life, we take that to heart. We do a thorough check through our life. We're offended by it. But if somebody pays us a compliment, we brush it off. We go, oh, no, that's nothing. And we say, when somebody pays us a compliment here, we say,
thank you, and I receive
that. Thank you, and I receive that. That's right. Hopefully we're not lying. We say, thank you, and I receive. It's okay to receive the good. And so we have to receive what the Holy Spirit has for us in the moment. And so he begins with this prayer and fellowship, and they work together. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 2, verses chapter 13. Wait, let me back up. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. I'm going to throw James all around this morning. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, when you think of fellowship in a Baptist church, what is that code for? Thank you. Dave got an A-plus this morning on that paper. Means potluck. Means that when we have potluck, we all sit down and we eat together, which we'll be having for Thanksgiving coming up. But it means that we spend time together. We get to know each other. We share of the good and the bounty that we have. And so how often do we share in that fellowship with the Holy Spirit in the same way? So often, he's just a foreign concept to us. How often do you sit down with him and fellowship, share? This is what I'm learning. I'm so excited. Have you ever done that with the Lord? Have you ever prayed to tell him the things that you're learning? And how exciting his word has been? This has been so cool, God. I can't believe you showed me that. It's just amazing. How many of you have ever gone back after God answered a prayer and prayed and said, thank you? Thank you for doing that. Thank you for answering my prayer. Thank you for healing my aunt. Or thank you for delivering on this. And thank you, God, for not answering my prayer. Ever prayed that one? Because after a while you learn, wow, he had something better in store. That's a fun prayer. And so we see this fellowship of the Holy Spirit here. Listen, we get to spend time with him. So often today, because we go through church and you're told what you got to do and you got to do. Did you know that the law, what does the law produce in our life? You know what Romans 5 says about that? The law produces death, but grace brings life and peace. So what we do when people get saved is we say, oh, now that you're saved, you got to go do this, 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 and this. You ever been through that? And what happens is the joy that you had when you came to faith in Christ and the natural desire you had to dive into his word goes away. Because now you have to do it. Let me tell you something. You don't have to do anything. The beauty is we get to do it. We get to walk with him. We get to discover his word. We get to watch his hand at work in us. Should we do all those things? We should, because that's who we are. Not to become something. And so let's restore the joy of our salvation in this spending time with the Holy Spirit. Now, is that how you view your time with him? Or is it, oh, got to have my quiet time? We all do that on January 1, right? We're going to start a new year. We're going to have a quiet time. We're going to do it in the morning. I'm going to set my clock early. You ever done that? How many of it was still going on by January 30th? Exactly. But you have never, how many of you have ever been moved by God on a certain subject or a certain study or a certain book? You're just like, I'm just really interested in that. You ever had that? Respond. And enjoy the joy of that. Because He's working in your life that way. You know, the old standard pat answer, and I don't know if it's a Southern Baptist thing or where it comes from, but it's, go read the Gospel of John, because that reveals who Jesus is. Listen, somebody who's been saved knows who Jesus is. They just put their faith in Him. Right? We can learn more about Him in there, but Genesis to Revelation is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Everybody thinks about, when you think about Revelation, what do you think that that book is about? Eschatology, right? End times? Isn't that what we're taught? Do you know what the Bible says? Do you know what Revelation says about itself? About the book? This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. How often have you studied Revelation looking for Christ? We don't even read it. We just accept these dead norms. And we never challenge them and look at what God's Word actually says. And so that's my challenge to you with that. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. As He's leading you, as you're getting interested in a subject, or you're interested in a book, or you start to feel Him stirring in your heart, find out what that means. And you know what? If there's a reason that you're skeptical, be honest with Him about that too. And engage Him. And so we also see in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, says this, therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. The unity of the body that exists here at New Life, or any church, happens when we're all in alignment with the Holy Spirit. Now when we get in our own agendas, let me tell you something. If we all came down here at the end of service and knelt and said, God, show us what you want as a church, and we'll go. The Holy Spirit is going to tell us the same things. He may give me a part, and you a part, and you a part, and you a part, and it seems like they're different parts, but they fit together for one purpose. He's never going to give us two different purposes. Two different visions is where die, let's do a little bit of etymology here. Die means two. Vision, that's where you get division. To separate, when you divide things, you separate it. And He's not called us to separation, He's called us to the unity of the Spirit. And so that's what prayer and fellowship does. That's how we interact with Him. We're supposed to be fellowshipping with Him. We're supposed to be engaging Him, and He's engaging us all the time. And sometimes it seems like, for some of us, and I know I went through this in my own life at one point, where He reminded me of a time. He said, do you remember when? I remember exactly where I was. I was walking to work downtown. And He said, do you remember when you were closer to me? And I said, yes. And He said, you need to return. And I had a choice to make. Because I wasn't walking with Him. I was doing my own thing. Trying to build my life. Instead of responding to the life that He had planned for me. So I've been there. I know that journey. I know the loneliness that goes with it. I know the separation. The emptiness. But I also know the fulfillment that comes from embracing Him and saying yes if you return. And so we see, this is, listen, as we fellowship and as we pray for unity, that's where our individual and corporate purposes are discovered. And so I want to encourage, or I want to engage the Holy Spirit with prayer and fellowship. And so you might be surprised what happens and what you're going to discover when you do that. Just this one item, we got four to go. The others are shorter, I promise. Well, now I've got to deliver on my promise. So So prayer and fellowship, faith in Him. We're supposed to have faith in Him as well. The Holy Spirit has been sent to us as a helper. We've read that verse. So when somebody is helping you, you have to have some level of faith in them. When you're picking up something heavy, don't you want somebody that you have some level of confidence to pick it up? Right? You want somebody who knows what they're doing when they're helping you with something else? And so, we're to have, He's been sent as a help. We need to trust Him. Acts 6, verses 4 and 5 says this: "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And so we see here from these verses that we need men and women full of the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. See, we can't do the will of God unless we're filled with the Spirit of God. We can't do it on our own apart from Him. So if you think you can do that, you're mistaken. Try it. It's a hard road. It's rough. And He will bring everything you try to its very end. I know. I've done it. It was a very difficult road. And the reason that God did not let me succeed in doing that is because it's not about what I do for Him, but about what He's doing in me and wants to do in the moment. I have walked that road, and it's rough, and it's heartbreaking. And so we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you? Listen, I'll tell you this. Everybody in here, you all are full of something. That didn't sound right. You're either full of the Spirit, or you're full of self, or you're full of worship of something else. But we're full of something. We need to be full of the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16 says this: "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." And so if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to experience the victory you have over your flesh. And this idea that we create, well, we're just going to sin because we're only human. You ever heard that one? You ever said that one? Well, I'm just going to do it. We can't help ourselves. That's not what the verse says. Now, I know you're not going to like this because it doesn't give you an excuse to continue sinning anymore. But the truth is, you don't have an excuse to sin. We have no excuse. You want to make excuses for your sin? There was an excuse made. Look what it did to Jesus. That was the excuse. That's how it got excused. Do you really want to try to make that excuse? I have, according to these verses here, if I walk in the Spirit, I will not carry out the desires of my flesh. So how do you walk in the Spirit, right? Isn't that the question? It goes back to prayer and fellowship. It goes to having faith in Him. This is what this is all about this morning. See, guys, because if we don't appropriate why the Holy Spirit came for us, we're going to miss out on the whole deal. Because everything we've learned about Him will not go away, but we'll not be able to experience it. And so we see here that the goal for Him in these verses, or for us in these verses, is to have victory over the thing that you think you have no victory over. Because see, the enemy will say, well, you're going to always struggle with this, or this thing will always get you, or, well, you just don't understand. You know what's funny? We think that we love certain sinful things, don't we? I kind of love that, or I kind of... But you know, the closer we draw to Christ in those moments of worship, or those moments of sharing with Him, we kind of hate that thing that we think we love. You ever notice that? It's a love-hate relationship. And it has to do with where we're putting our heart. And so that's what faith is about. And so let me ask you this. Has putting your faith anywhere else worked? Does it work for you? You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. We do it all the time. Well, maybe it worked this time. I'll try harder. Do you know that God doesn't want you to try harder? He wants you to trust harder and rely on Him. See, there's hope. And it's not hope in hope itself. It's hope in the one who is hope. And His name is Jesus. And so as you pursue Him, you will discover what He has for you. And so we see that we interact through prayer and fellowship, through faith in Him, and obedience to Him, as we commune with Him and trust Him to both help and lead us. We must act on what He shows us. Now, I'm going to talk to all you super spiritual people out there as one who isn't. You ever had God lead you to do something and you didn't do it? Me too. I've done it. I've stood there and did my own thing. And I said, well, I've got a better idea. Or, you know, I've got these other competing values than to listen. And I missed out. And to this day, guess what I'm still talking about? Right? So I've been there. I've missed an opportunity to share Christ. And I've missed an opportunity to minister when somebody whipped around and just in line asked me a question. Because I had to be somewhere. Or because I was fearful of where I was. See, that spirit doesn't come from God because He doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Amen?
Amen.
That comes from the enemy. And you know what? Here's the thing. Let's say I am in a bad location and an opportunity presents itself to share Christ, and I go share Christ and die in the process. Man, I can't think of a better way to go. See, our priority, our eyes are on the wrong things, folks. Our eyes are on the wrong things. We have, honestly, you want to just strip this down? You want to know what the real problem is? We love this world too much. We love the things of this world too much over our love for God. That's the bottom line. That's why we don't get to experience some of this. How many of you would quit your job and go and serve the Lord somewhere if He told you? Not knowing if you had the money, not knowing where it was going to come from. You know how many times He did that in God's Word? He did it to Abram, his father. Abram, his father, is dying. He said, you want me to go now? That wouldn't have been a good time. That would have been my argument. My dad's dying. I got, you know, we're settled here. You want me to go where? And then Abram didn't actually obey. He headed north instead of south. Same thing with Jonah. Where did Jonah end up? Was it a whale? What does God's Word say? It's a big fish. We don't know if it was a whale. Does it say whale? Could have been a whale. Could have been an ocean-going sunfish. Have you seen those? Anybody seen those pictures of the ocean? They're like giant heads. They're like Jay Leno's. I'm just kidding. They're like giant swimming heads. Could have been anything. That's a trick question. Sorry. But does it? What God's Word says matters. So listen. Obedience to Him matters. Romans 8:14 says this. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Maybe, let's just cut to the chase, let's be honest, because what a terrible thing it would be to give somebody false hope. Maybe, if you're not experiencing that, we need to check our salvation. I'll tell you what, if we get everything else wrong, let's not get that wrong. We get enough wrong, but let's not get that wrong. He will lead his people. Because he saved you for a purpose. He saved you, number one, because he loves you. But he saved you for a purpose that he's called you to. And so letting him lead us is the outflow of our relationship with him. And you're not letting him lead if you're not doing what he says. Think about this. If we have a guide on the trail, and he's our leader, and he says, we're going this way, and he takes off, and we're all standing over there, is he leading us? No. I want somebody who's done it before to tell me how to do it. And he was there when this was created. And he's trying to tell me what's best for me. And to put me in the position to be used and be the sharpest instrument I can be. Acts 16, verses 6 and 7 says this. They passed through Phrygian and the Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. That's crazy, right? Why would he not let them go into Asia to speak the word, to share and to proclaim the gospel? But he forbid them. He forbid them to go. Why would that be? You ever wondered about that? Well, I'm going to propose an answer to you. Because he had somewhere else for them to be. And if he's saying no here, you ever shared Christ with somebody and you felt like that's as far as you should go? You stopped there and that's enough? Or because maybe you're the seed planter, the seed waterer. Maybe you're not meant for the harvest. Maybe you were meant to prepare their hearts. The Holy Spirit will, what if they just said, no, we're going there anyway. We're going there anyway. Not only would they not have been in the center of God's will, but he would have had to correct them, and where they were supposed to be would not be hearing the message that they should have been hearing because they were not. So there's all kinds of damage when we don't listen to what God tells us. And sometimes, you ever had God tell you something uncomfortable? Anybody other than me? Yeah. Welcome. You know why? Because we've grown comfortable with things that are not from God. We're very comfortable with certain things in our lives that have nothing to do with God. He didn't even make us that way. It's ways we've accepted or areas that make us feel safe. And what it comes down to is we really don't trust him to do that. That's the bottom line. And so he forbid them to go. Be willing to accept that he will tell you no sometimes. That's okay. How long has it been since you did something because the Holy Spirit told you? Come on, folks, this is the deal. If we're going to have a heart for God, if we're going to really walk, how long has it been since you did something because God told you to do it? Because he's speaking all the time. He says, my people know my voice. We have to strip down this, I did my thing for God, I went to church today. Listen, you don't go to church, you're always at church if you're saved, because you are the church. Mm-hmm. Folks, we need to get a grip on what God is up to. And we need to get a grip on really who we are. I'm at church 24/7 because I am the church. So in light of that, the sermons are short. It's all relative. But you know what? Our life is the sermon. Does it accurately reflect in obedience what God's asked us to do? And so we interact with Him through prayer, fellowship, faith in Him, obedience to Him, and then care for our body. We are called to care for our body. Often we think of our bodies as our own. This is mine. I kind of do what I want. I eat what I want. I hide snacks. Anybody ever hidden a snack before? I know some people in this room have. And we found it when we were kids and we ate it anyway. That's actually a pretty funny story for some other time. But we think of our bodies as our own, but we have a responsibility to care for this vessel that God's given us. Where are you getting this, Pastor? 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17 says this: Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. You know, it's interesting here. He uses, my favorite part of that is the very last part of it, of that verse, identity. How many of you see yourselves as holy? See? Here's our problem, folks. I'm holy. You know what we're afraid of? Well, I saw what you did. I know what you thought. I know how you are. Right? And that's what it sounds like in our mind. The truth is, if you're saved, you are holy now. So all your hands should have gone up. But I don't act holy all the time. You ever had that? And so that's why we didn't put our hands up, right? So let's just strip this down. Our holiness is not dependent on our behavior. Sometimes I act inconsistent with who I am. You ever do that? So, how many of you are holy? That was hard, wasn't it? Some of them went like this. It's like the wave, kind of. The truth is, we are holy, that we act sometimes inconsistent with that. You don't believe me. You're giving me that look again. He says it right here in the end of that. The temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. You are holy. Now, I thought about bringing some spray paint in here and some hammers and pass them out to see if anybody wanted to bust holes and spray the walls. We would never think about doing that in here. We would go, oh, you did that to the church? Who is the church? We are the church. We think of that as something that we would never consider here, but we do it to our bodies. And so we're living a lie, essentially. We're not embracing what's true. Watch this. It gets so much better. Listen, your body is a temple, and it's holy because He dwells in you. That's the beauty. So watch this. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. This is an amazing passage. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. So just because we can do certain things doesn't mean we should. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body, you know, boy, that's a tough one. God's going to do away with food eventually. I don't know if I want this faith. verse 14. Oh, wait, I need to go back. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, in other words, as a result of all of this, glorify God in your body. I don't know how it can be any clearer, folks. I can't make it clearer than what God wrote. We think this belongs to us. That's our problem. Because we get up and we prep it, we wash it, we spray it, we roll anti-stink stuff on it. And some stuff that smells good to make it smell better. We comb it, we tease it. Back in the day, they would tease it up high. Here in Texas, that went on for a while. We color it, we dye it, we sometimes exercise it. When it breaks, we get it fixed, if we can. And we take ownership of the things that belong to God. That's a bad place for us to be, folks. Bad place. Care for your body. Do things that are profitable for your relationship with Him. And when you do things that are profitable for your relationship with Him, it's always profitable to you. Always. And so your bodies are members of Christ, not yours. That's the proof. Man, you talk about getting even deeper with this. How many of you have ever thought about that before, that my body is a member of Christ? I've never thought about it before until I was studying here. I was like, what? So I'm with you. That's a new thing, a new concept, a way to think about this, all of this wonderfulness here. If it's His, it's wonderful, right? It has to be. Now, we may not agree with that. But it's wonderful. So he tells us, avoid immorality and glorify God in your body. Because immorality doesn't. Well, I'm telling you, we live in a time, you know, let's just, we're going to cut to the chase here. I'm going to get in trouble with that. You used to have to go to the bookstore to engage in immorality. Or down and meet somebody in person. Now it's all online. Now it's even on your phone. It just drops into your phone. And it can be a very innocent thing, and then boom, there's the image. You ever had that happen on your computer? You open it up, you click on the wrong email, and boom. I've had that happen. I was doing a research paper for seminary, and I had it happen on my computer. I was doing research on gambling. For a paper that was due, and it showed up on my computer screen. How does that even go together? But we live in a world like that, and the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life can all be found there. Hit your eye, it appeals to your flesh, and the pride of life. Ain't nobody going to find out. Nobody's going to catch me. Let's just cut to the chase. Ain't nobody want to talk about it. But I'll tell you this. If we don't deal with it, it's going to get us. So we have to care for our body. Avoid it. avoid it. Glorify, and I'll give you a good computer guy's name. It's not Stephen or Dave. Because we don't need to put that in their minds either. Avoid it. Glorify God in your body. Lastly, we worship Him. We worship the Holy Spirit. When I first discovered the concept of this, I was like, wow, that sounds really funny. Don't we worship the Lord? And we worship the Father, God, with the Holy Spirit? Watch how this breaks out. Acts 5, verses 3 through 4. This is one of the verses we started with back in the day. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? Now, who did they lie to? The Holy Spirit. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And who have they lied to? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God. Now, Revelation 22:9 says this. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book, worship God. So the Holy Spirit is God. He's called God. And we're told to worship God. Therefore, we must worship the Holy Spirit. See how that works? We worship Him. He is God. He's 100% God. Just like the Father and just like Jesus Christ. And so we're called to worship Him. He's worthy of that. He's worthy of it. That's part of how we interact with the Holy Spirit. So our interaction is prayer and fellowship. Our interaction is faith and obedience, care for our body and worship. So in looking at how we relate to the Holy Spirit, it forces us to ask ourselves a few questions. How often do you engage the Holy Spirit for the help He was sent to provide? The real help that He was sent to provide, not just rescue me and fix my knee. Kind of rhymed, but I didn't even mean to do that. That's kind of what we pray to Him for. How many of you pray to Him and say, Lord, I'm struggling with this verse. Show me, Spirit, show me what it means. That's what He was brought to do. Empower the gifts You've given me so that I can be a blessing to the body and share the hope of Christ with the world. You ever prayed that prayer? See, folks, we're going through the motions and we're not getting it. And I don't want to go through the motions. Anytime, you ever gone through the motions at work and knew you were going through much? How many of you love that? Anybody? How many of you love busy work? We hate it, right? We want our work to matter. We want what we're doing to count. We want our lives to count. Quit going through the motions and marking time. When you mark time, you look like you're marching and you ain't going nowhere. How often do you engage Him? If you do engage Him, do you listen to Him? Do you also listen to Him? Well, let me engage Him. Oh, you want me to do that? I don't know if I can do that. Here's 100 reasons why. They're already upset with me. You ever had Him tell you to engage somebody who was upset with you? I have. Maybe people don't get upset with you. They get upset with me. Happened yesterday. He told me to reach out, and I did it. And I left it at that, because that's as far as He told me to go. It's okay. It's not my deal. It's His. My deal is whether I do it or don't do it. That's the journey. Listen, how often do you engage him? Well, but he never says anything. I never hear God, the Holy Spirit, ever speak to me. You ever been out there and had somebody talking like this? And went, well, you don't talk to me. I have sat where you're sitting, had a preacher say this, and said that. I've said that. You don't talk to me. If, I will tell you this, I will challenge you on this. How did I go from that to here? Consistency. I said, I'm going to seek after him, and I'm going to do it consistently and see what happens. And he began to speak to me. And he began to work on my heart to change things. And so be consistent. He'll speak, I promise. Here's the next question. This gets worse. I had to go through all this already, so. Do you enjoy spending time with the Holy Spirit? Oh, I have so much to do, and I need to have my quiet time. Sorry. See, and distractions happen. Hello? And that's what happens. We say hello to those things, and then we're not doing it. Can you imagine, what if I'd said hello? Stephen, stop calling. And we get off track. Do you enjoy spending time? Listen, the reason we don't usually surrounds him stripping away the things of the world we want instead of him. That's why we don't enjoy it. Because we feel like he's going to take something from us, right? Like God is going to take from me. And I like these things. I like these things that I know that are not good. Don't raise your hands. Raise your hands in your mind for me. How many of you have things that you know are in your life that you know are not good for you? Don't have to raise your hand. Just raise it in your mind. Okay? That's what we're afraid of. That's why we don't enjoy spending time with the Holy Spirit. Y'all are getting uncomfortable, and I love it. Because at least I'm not alone anymore. Third question. I told you, it's just going to get worse. Lock the door. Are there obstacles you have allowed to interfere with your relationship with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to give you just a few here. I'm going to give you one of the biggest ones that I've seen and I've dealt with. Here it is. You ready? Buckle up. Expecting perfection from yourself. Well, I'm afraid that I'm going to fail God, or I feel like I'm not going to do it right. Or it's not going to be perfect. Are we any perfectionists in here? My hand's up, and I'm going to speak only about me for now. You can apply it if it applies, and if it doesn't, you can throw it out. You can say, that's just wrong. Perfectionism is a delusion. Because there's only one who's perfect. His name is Jesus. What I'm doing when I set up perfectionism for me is I'm setting myself as the standard. And if this is the standard, it's only perfect if I agree with it. Guess who's become God then in that scenario? I have. That's where God started to strip out my idea of perfection. Stephen just helped me with this. He didn't even know that he was helping me, but God was using him that way. He did. This is all news to him, I think. Maybe he did know it. And that was his plan and his plot all along. Just kidding. Stephen's very sweet, innocent. You will love him. Get to know him. Spend time with Stephen. Other obstacles. Expecting perfection from yourself. Well, I don't want to fail God. So I'm not going to try and do anything. Or I don't know enough, and so until I know enough, then that's what I'm going to do. And so we don't do anything because we're afraid that we're going to fail at it. You fail when you don't do it. So what's happening is your fear is allowing what you fear the most to come true. Here's another one, hurt. Man, hurt is rampant in the church. So-and-so hurt me, or they said something that hurt my feelings. And instead of going to them and making it right, or finding out if you can, we quit, we go somewhere else. Or we just don't talk to them ever again. We say, well, they're never going to change. Well, neither are you. Neither are you, because you're not doing the same thing. So don't sit there and do that. That's hypocritical. God has called us to the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Heal those relationships. And if God moves you, follow Him. Don't run away from something. Run to Him. Hurt. Sin. Well, that'll keep us. Well, I don't want to give this sin up. I know it's sin. God's convicted me that it's sin. But I'm going to hang out with Joe Bob over here because he says it's okay for me to do that when I'm around him. And I don't feel judged. Listen, nobody should ever feel judged here. They ought to feel loved and that this is a safe place. But also a place where we don't compromise the truth. Indifference. You ever been indifferent to the Lord? Whatever God says. Whatever. Whatever. Alright, God. I read that, but I'm going to make this decision. I just don't care. We would never say that to God, but we act that way. You play games all you want. You talk yourself all you want. Talk yourself into thinking you did the right thing, that because God doesn't understand. God understands more about your life than you do. I promise you that. He knows more about me than I even understand. He's still revealing things to me about me. That tells me one thing. He knows more than I know. What hasn't He revealed yet? Maybe some of the things you're praying about. Selfishness. That's another one. Well, but I'm afraid if God does that, then I'm going to have to give up this, or I'm going to have to do that. And I don't want to do that. You know, honestly, some of these excuses, the indifference and selfishness, or indifference, you have to wonder, check your salvation. If I grow indifferent to the Lord, check my salvation. How can you realize what Jesus did on the cross and be indifferent? You can't. It's not possible. You know, I read the story this week and I thought, well, that sounds like a joke. There was a rabbi and a soap maker that were walking together. It sounds like it should be a rabbi and a soap maker walking to a... But a rabbi and a soap maker were walking together and the soap maker began to give him a hard time. And he said to him, he said, what good is religion? Just look around you. What do you see? Trouble, misery, wars. Even after all these years of preaching and teaching about goodness, truth, and peace, what good is religion with all its prayers and sermons if all this evil still exists? What he said to him. The rabbi with great wisdom did not respond. They kept walking. And they came across this little boy who was playing out in the mud. He was just absolutely covered. Covered as we get. All the little boys said, amen. Because that's a beautiful sight when you can just see our eyes. And he was covered in mud. And the rabbi looked at the soap maker and he said, well, you say soap is supposed to wash us clean. What good is it when the... Here's a young man who's completely covered in mud. And the soap maker looked at him and said, well, it doesn't work unless you apply it. And the rabbi looked back at him and he said, that's true with religion as well. It doesn't accomplish its purposes unless we apply it. We don't get to experience what God has unless we apply it. So if we walk out of here and go, that was nice, and we forget, and we go on, wonderful, but we're going to be the little boy sitting there covered in mud. And the question is that the picture that's accurate of what God's done for us? Let's not miss our opportunity. Let's apply what God has shown us here. Let's take these verses and begin to engage them. And you say, sit out there, and I've done this enough to know. There's somebody sitting out there going, that's me. I don't ever hear him. If that's you, I want you to start telling him that. That needs to be your prayer. Say, God, I want to know what you have for me, but you never speak to me. And I want to know why. Ask. You never speak to me, and I want to know why. That's an honest prayer, right? Why? And then when he does speak, don't blow him off. Do you keep talking to the people that blow you off? You move on, don't you? Your obedience is the key to future conversations. Without it, it's not going to happen. And so don't blame him because you've been blowing him off. Let's get on track and follow and listen and hear and obey and spend time in fellowship and prayer and journey with him. It ain't his fault. It's Mark's fault when Mark does that. I promise you it is. And insert your name here if it applies. Because I want to know, and I want to be there when God works through you in awesome ways. And I want to be locked arm in arm praying over the things that God's showing us together and how he's knitting our hearts together as a body. And for the journey in the future. And when Goliath comes, we don't need a big stone to deal with the challenges that lay before us. We just need the hand of God. So this morning, I want to encourage you to say yes to him. Maybe you want to be a part of the group that comes down here and prays and says, I'm in. Maybe you want to be a part of the group that prays for these folks that need the Lord. You know what? Let's upset the enemy. I'm in. I want to see as many of those hearts come down from the cross as go up. Amen? But it's going to take us being on the page with the Lord. For those of you who don't know what this is, we're praying for lost friends that we have. And if you'd like to add a name, we're putting their first names up there, and we're praying for them. But we're not going to just pray. We're called to engage them. We're called to share the gospel. Now I'm making you nervous. Now you're not sure if you're going to put the name up there. This morning, what has God said to you? I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head and close their eyes.